soon after he became Pope, Benedict XVI wrote an encyclical entitled Deus Caritas Est, which means God is love. And in the very first paragraph of Deus Caritas Est, he expresses beautifully what it means to be a Christian. And this is how Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI expresses it. Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but it is the encounter with a person. It is the encounter with an event which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. It's an encounter with a person, an event, that gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. And in all of our readings today, Isaiah, 1 Corinthians, and Luke, we see this happening with those who encounter the Lord. And one of the things that's so important to just underscore here is that although theology and ethics truly matter for us, especially as Catholic Christians, and there was not a greater theologian, I think, in the 20th century than Benedict XVI, and none who was a greater ethicist, but he would say that before we get to theology and ethics, we have to have the encounter with a person. We have to encounter Jesus Christ. And as we learn to discover more fully what it means to be in relationship with him, listen to what happens. We do have a new horizon, a new way of understanding the world. This is what the church calls theology. And then we have a new direction, a new way by which we live our lives, and this is called ethics. But theology and ethics are what grow from knowing Jesus Christ, having a personal and living relationship with him. St. Paul, in 15, says the exact same thing that Benedict XVI said. He put it a little bit differently. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which you are also being saved. Do you see what St. Paul is doing here? He's talking about the same encounter, an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus received into the lives of those who called themselves the church at Corinth. But then he goes on to talk about, we stand in this faith. That's our theology. It helps to give that sense of orientation. And then he says, we are also being saved. And that refers to the ethical life. For you see, it's how we live our lives each and every day, the choices that we are making that enable us to partner with the Holy Spirit in our salvation. And this is what I want to focus on today. Our scriptures are making it very clear that Isaiah, Paul, Simon Peter were changed because Jesus, God, drew close to them. I love our first reading. It's one of the most beautiful Old Testament texts. Isaiah is in the temple. He is worshiping the Lord. And as he is caught up in worship, he hears the praise of the angels who say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What's so beautiful about this passage is if you turn over to the book of Revelation in the 4th chapter, you have the angels and the 24 elders saying almost the same thing. In Revelation, we hear these words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's what Isaiah heard. But then John in the Revelation hears, "Who was and who is to come." Now, here's the thing that's so beautiful about these two quotations. Remember, Isaiah heard, the whole earth is full of God's glory. In other words, look at the world around you. Look where we live. And if your heart is receptive, you will see the glory of God in what is called general revelation, in creation. But then St. John hears the one who was and is to come. That's what's called specific revelation. That's the revelation that comes to us through the Holy Scriptures. And it is this revelation that St. Paul in Corinthians speaks of when he talks about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So take this to heart. In our encounter with Jesus Christ, we encounter him in the world around us, in the beauty of the created order, because the whole earth is filled with his glory. But that's not enough. We need revelation. We need particular revelation. We need the Holy Scriptures. And when this happens, we come to a point where we recognize that Jesus is calling us. He is inviting us into a particular kind of relationship that might lead us with Isaiah to say, woe is me, for I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts, the King. Now, listen to what St. Paul says. Last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And then hear what Simon says. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. So something happens when we encounter the Holy God. We recognize, I am not cut out for this on my own. There's just no way that I can do this. Maybe some of you here today understand exactly what I'm talking about. You know what it is to have encountered the Holy God. And as you encounter God in your life, you realize this is the relationship that changes everything. It changes the way in which I'm going to live my life, and it brings me to a place of deeper transformation. But this is not easy. This is very hard. Isaiah experienced coal on his lips. Saint Paul fell to the ground and was then blinded. And Saint Peter realizes, I can't fish for fish, let alone for people. But here's what Jesus does. He comes and he encounters us so that we can hear him say, go out into the deep. There is a world out there that needs to be brought into Peter's boat, the church. There is a world out there that is confused about theology. There is a world out there that is confused about ethics. They do not know how to live, so lives are disordered and unethical. But this is what Jesus says to the church. You are the ones to be catching the world for me. You are not to be caught by the world. It's so beautiful to read that gospel today, to hear of Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, being there 3 weeks ago and actually eating St. Peter's fish. Probably the same kind of fish that was caught 2,000 years ago was on my plate and the plate of other pilgrims who are here this morning a few weeks back. And this is what makes Christianity so beautiful. It's located in time and in place, with particular people living at a particular time. And just as Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he called Simon, Andrew, James and John to the vocation of catching people, I want to end my homily today by speaking especially to young people here. Is it possible, you 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 14, 15, 16-year-olds, 22, 23-year-olds, that Jesus might be calling you to a particular vocation, to a particular encounter where in meeting him, you realize this changes everything? Maybe you've thought, maybe I am being called to consider being a priest one day. Maybe I am being called to the religious life to become a nun. In the world around us, you'll never hear this as being a vocation worth considering. But if you have had this tug in your heart, know that you're in good company with a man who had been in the Jerusalem temple 2,600 years ago, with a man who had been persecuting the church and now was called by Jesus to proclaim him to the world, and by a fisherman who had a big heart, had big ideas, but lacked courage early on. But then Jesus was able to work with him. So here's what I would ask. If you are under the age of 18, and this is something that God is speaking to you about, please talk to your parents and say, Mom, Dad, can we talk more about this? And perhaps if you'd like to, come see me, make an appointment. I would be honored to talk with you about the vocation to the religious life, to the priesthood. Now, if you're over 18, it might still be good to talk to your parents about this. But if you'd like to email me directly and just have that opportunity to come and see me, again, I would be honored to do so. For you see, we need a 21st century church that has men and women who have experienced in Jesus the encounter that changes everything for them. And as they understand and grow in this relationship with him, they understand that theology really matters. And the way we shape our lives ethically makes all the difference. And let me just tell you what a gift and joy it is to be a priest, where I get to think about theology and about God. And I'm given the profound privilege of helping people to walk in the direction that allows their lives to be shaped more and more by Jesus Christ. At the beginning of Mass today, our collect had us pray these words. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Jesus has ordained that through the Pope, his bishops, his priests, his deacons, he does extend this unfailing care to his people. And it's the religious, through their life of constant prayer, where we discover more and more what it is to totally rely on God's heavenly grace. And that the prayers of our faithful religious allow us to know God's protective love. Isaiah, Paul, Peter, we ask for your prayers that there will be those here at St. Peter's who will encounter Jesus more and more, that encounter that changes everything. And in hearing his question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? They will say, here am I, send me.